Bradley Woods is the CEO of the Australian Hotels Association, and I can guarantee he doesn't agree with these views. Good afternoon, Brad.
Hi, Adam.
What do you think? You heard the professor. He's saying this from a physiological point of view. It's hard to argue with those points, isn't it?
Well, I think the recommendation that he's made to raise the drinking age to 25 needs to be considered in the context of the real world. 60% of countries in the world have 18 as the drinking age. 3% have 20 and 6% have 21.
Okay.
The remainder of the world, 10% has none, and the other 13% is from 10 to 17. So I think at 18, when we say people are old enough to go to war or to drive or to participate in adult, sorry, obviously drive at a younger age, but participate in adult-related activities, it is a question worth asking of why are we looking at this question of reducing it.
Well, I'll tell you why. 5,000 people dying every year. Isn't that reason enough?
Well, there's lots of data around, the figures that get bandied around in terms of the billions of dollars or the thousands of people and the rest of it. It's all extrapolated data, and I'm not here to sort of debate statistics because everyone can have their own interpretation of it.
Well,
but the reality is that Australia is part of a first world consortium of countries that have 18 as the drinking age. No country in the world has 25 as a drinking age.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying that if we have this toll from alcohol, whatever the number is, and do you accept, for instance, the proposition that more people die from alcohol-related issues than drugs? Do you accept that?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I'm not in a position to disagree or agree with what the doctor has said. I'm not a doctor. I don't have the stats in front of me.
You've never looked at this?
We have looked at it, and there's lots of conflicting data around this. It depends on whose research you read and who you take into account and who's funded it and what their interests
are. So you're saying drugs do kill more people? Or you've got to have a position here, Brad, but this is your business.
Well, illicit drugs are illicit drugs, Adam. I mean, at the end of the day, if they are illegal illicit drugs, they shouldn't be consumed at all.
Yeah, but hang on. It's about harm minimisation as well we're talking about here, about the age for drinking, about what you can do when you're driving. I mean, that's the discussion here, rather than just saying, well, illicit drugs, therefore there is no comparison. There's clearly a comparison. People are taking both, and they're taking a toll on their health in different ways.
There's a reality, though, that the 5,000 or the data that's referred to is from a whole range of different sources. Sometimes it's about people's consumption patterns and behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's because, that they were in a car and they happened to have an accident and died, but the driver wasn't even impaired by alcohol. That data gets caught up in that 5,000 as well. So there's lots of ways you can...
So you have analysed the numbers then, Brett?
I think a lot of people have analysed.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised you're reluctant to have a view on this then, if you know so much about the numbers.
Well, the numbers are really fascinating because they paint different pictures according to whose research you read. And I'm not an adjudicator on this, Adam. I have a view that people who are affected by alcohol and are alcohol addicts, they are alcoholics, are in a very difficult situation. We need to have a society that protects those that are the most vulnerable to that type of abuse and harm. We need to ensure that those people are provided with access to rehabilitation and other services effectively, and I think we fail in that regard sometimes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a lot of people who do consume alcohol and can do it responsibly and don't necessarily cause harm to other people.
Okay, well, just to finish, and what about this question about people having no alcohol in their system if they're behind the wheel of a car?
The science on this is again fascinating because there's a lot of people who can have one drink and not be able to cope that well, and there's a lot of people that could have four or five drinks and hardly be impaired.
But they think they're not impaired, though, Brad.
Well, Adam, I'm not a scientist, and without getting into the sort of debate of whether they are or they aren't, the medical and the scientific and the behavioural research shows everyone absorbs alcohol differently and at different levels. Maybe the question is in terms of coming up with the right resources to measure that ability. When we've got lots of computer systems these days that can measure all sorts of things, maybe at some point we'll get to a point down the track where interlock devices are connected to people's reactive times and all sorts of things. Who knows? But I think it needs to be considered in terms of, I think if someone is going to drink, they shouldn't be planning on driving. If someone, you know, has,
I agree with that.
Has a mid-strength or they have two mid-strengths and they're trying to keep under 0.05 and do the right thing, we as a society, we should be reasonable enough to say, you know, there's a limit to this that's excessive or there's a reasonableness test.
Yeah.
And I think the reasonableness test is where the law is now.
Okay. Thanks for your time, Brett.
No worries. Cheers, then.
That's Bradley Woods from the Australian Hotels Association, WA CEO there.